From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker about the commodity markets, check out what's been happening in the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett, and hear all about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenor, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn down 3.5 today at $3.75 and a quarter. The March at 383 and three quarters, 4 cents lower. The May contract down 3.75 at $3.91. July 3 lower at 397 and three quarters. And December of next year at 399 and a half, down a penny and a half. Soybeans were higher today. November contract up a dime at $9.25. January 936 and a half, nine higher. March 948 and three quarters up eight, and the May at 960 and a quarter up 7.5. Next year's November at 972 and a quarter, 5 cents higher. The bean oil down 32 cents today, finished at 31.43. The bean meal at 305.60 up $6.70. Wheat futures soft red July contract 526 and a half down 3.5. The hard red July 5.5 lower at $4.47.75. December live cattle futures unchanged today at $119 even. The February there at $124.85, 15 cents higher. November feeder cattle at $146.77.5, down 2.5. And January is at $144.77.5, a $1.35 higher on the afternoon. Lean hogs, $64.30, down 47.5. In the December February contract, however, up a dollar at $73.77.5. The crude oil futures at $57 and a nickel up 70 cents for the day. Ethanol futures 3.3 cents higher at $1.40.6 per gallon, and heating oil or diesel fuel about a penny lower at $1.91.6. Gasoline on the RBOB 0.8 cents higher, and the natural gas is down 0.42. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 229 points higher at this hour. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting, out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. I take it you're here in Illinois this week, Dan?
Yes, I am. I miss this cold weather, so I got to come up here and remind myself that my roots actually did come from Illinois rather than Texas.
Is that the gray roots? It's just cold, man.
It's cold. It's cold. You can tell that I'm used to the warmer weather. I know that.
I want to start with these soybeans here. A dime higher. Is this because of potential China deal? Is it because of the cold weather? All of the above? Something else?
Well, I'm not too sure cold weather has. Well, cold weather is always generally supportive, I guess, to feed usage. But, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think soybeans is probably being driven by, we actually have some demand of beans. I mean, we do have China demand, and the news is it seems to be that there's going to be some kind of deal signed sometime. Of course, we've maybe been saying that for almost a year already. It's not, but I think there is, there's actual demand for soybeans. Whereas when you go over to the corn market, we just really don't have a lot of export demand. I mean, the demand that we have in the corn market is pretty much a domestic situation at the moment, which is feed usage and ethanol grind. Your ethanol plants, and you can see how they're pushing the bases, how they're offering free drying and this kind of stuff to try to attract some inventory into the pipeline. But when it comes over to the export side of the equation, there's just not a lot of activity, at least at this point. And that's what's, I think, holding corn back. But the beans, harvest is done, for the most part. That's one thing I did notice driving up here is that the bean fields are pretty well finished up. But there's still a lot of corn yet to be harvested. And while you still have harvest going on in corn, you still have harvest sales going across the board. The biggest buyer when you're at the elevator, the biggest seller of corn is harvest sales across the scales. That still is where elevators usually accumulate the largest part of their inventory. So I suspect, you know, we're seeing hedge pressure. I also suspect that we're seeing some long liquidation going into tomorrow's report. USDA has not come up with anything really friendly on the corn side all year long. Now, maybe tomorrow they might. But until they do, you got to view that they may keep things pretty close to the same. I think, you know, the yield reports, at least I hear, I mean, everything's highly variable. Moisture levels are variable. Yields are variable. It's just kind of all over the board. And, you know, I guess the question is will USDA catch that? And if they don't catch it here on the November report, will they ever have a chance to catch it until we get further down the road and they catch it in some kind of quarterly stocks report? And I think that's going to probably be the question on the corn market. And I'm not too optimistic that the January final crop report is going to be that close to the mark, because we'll see how much harvest we got to go when we get to December 1st, how much corn is actually still out in the field. So I don't think USDA's stocks number as of December 1st is going to be that solid. And without a solid December 1st stocks number, that leaves a lot of room for a margin of error as far as harvested acres go and as far as yield goes, because there's no back checking if you don't have a solid December 1 stocks number. You can't back your way out of an estimate, and that's what worries me more than anything, is that we may not really know the size of this corn crop until we maybe get into the third quarter next year. Maybe it might show up in the June report. This year, it didn't show up until September. Had to go a whole year before we found out that the corn crop wasn't as big as what USDA thought it was.
So farmers will have to wait a very long time for that to happen. In the mean space, they'll have bills to pay. They are running some corn, as you said, across the scale and making sales. That which they put in the bin, how long do you think they'll need to hang on to it?
Well, you got to get harvest out of the way. And once you get harvest out of the way, then you'll naturally get price strength, I think, you know, seasonally as you go into the spring. The key is going to be probably soybeans. Soybeans is going to have to lead corn, I think, out of the hole. Because soybeans, if USDA stays the same on their acreage estimates, and most people kind of feel that the yield's going to come down on beans. So we're looking at a smaller crop, smaller carryout. So the function of the beans market will be to go higher, and then that will maybe create some competition for acres, and we may not have as big a corn plantings next year as some people kind of think. So it's going to be kind of soybeans are going to have to be the leader of the pack here, I think, to lead corn out of its hole. But, you know, depending upon where you're at in the Corn Belt, there are some fairly, you know, when you take into account, you know, the strong basis levels and whatnot, and, of course, depending upon what your yield is, some of these corn prices ain't too bad in some areas. And, of course, it kind of depends upon what your yield is. If you're fortunate to have a pretty good yield and you're in an area that's got some pretty good cash bids, you know, there's nothing wrong with generating some cash flow. I do know that cash flow starts increasing December 1st, and it just steadily rises as you go all the way into the winter. And, you know, a lot of guys have to have stuff sold by March 1. Some guys can hang on to it, you know, for 2 years. But the vast majority of active farmers that's got new equipment, they got a lot of bills, they got a lot of cash rent, they kind of got to get most of this stuff kind of sold, you know, by March 1st or thereabouts. They can hang on to a little bit into the summer. But I think a lot of it is just uneasiness going into tomorrow's report. I think most everybody expects USDA to bring the yield down, but we've been doing that all year. And I guess we'll just have to kind of see what USDA does on the yield. And then we'll see whether or not once we get an estimate, whether or not that increases demand any. We see a pickup in demand.
Any final note on things that you see either in the corn or the soybeans on the charts? And we only have a couple of minutes.
Well, I think the corn market is, I think probably the last time I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, we should be nearing some kind of harvest low in here. It's later than normal. And I think, you know, what we're doing is just waiting on USDA's report. And I think once we get that out of the way, then the corn market won't have anything hanging over its head to try to do some recovery here as we go toward the end of the year.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Medium. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. On this Thursday afternoon, Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us to talk about the forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. It's colder today than it was yesterday, but at least there's still some sunshine around. What are your expectations?
Well, that's more or less going to be the theme for a while. We don't have very much rain or snow on the way over the next week or two, so things will be drying out. Temperatures are going to stay way colder than normal. We should be a solid 10 to 20 degrees warmer than where we are. And the amazing thing is that it's going to be even colder than this early next week. So certainly the fall is starting out on the chilly side, and it looks to stay that way through next week.
So farmers have a great deal of work yet to do. Is there much in the way of a difference in the temperatures from east to west or north to south across the Midwest?
Well, it's coldest in the north at this time of the year, and that's pretty much the case at the moment, and that's going to stay the case going forward. Well, we will see some pretty large temperature fluctuations out in the plains from the Dakotas onto the south. That's where temperatures could pop into the 40s, 50s, even the 60s in parts of Kansas and Oklahoma at times. But then that'll be quickly followed by much colder temperatures only in the 20s and 30s. So a lot more variation as you head to the west, but pretty much we're in the thick of this for the moment. And it's going to stay colder than normal in pretty much all of the central and eastern United States going forward.
You mentioned that next week the coldest temperatures will arrive. When and how cold?
Well, Monday and Tuesday looks to be the coldest days of next week. High temperatures in the Corn Belt will only be in the 20s and 30s. I mean, that is really, really cold for this time of the year. Low temperatures will range from the single digits in northern growing areas to the zeros and tens south. So unusual to see it this chilly. Now, there are some hints that it'll warm up a little bit later next week and then maybe into the following week. But the only thing we're a little cautious about is that it looked like this about 10 days ago, too. And here we are telling you how cold it's going to be. So at this point, we're just going to stick with the same forecast, which is it's going to stay cooler than normal and occasionally much cooler than normal and downright cold going into next week.
Will we have sunshine or storms?
Well, pretty sunny for most of it. We don't have very many rain or snow systems moving through. And there's really two reasons for that. Number one is that each of these cold air masses is associated with Arctic high pressure. And that's dry air, and that's the type of air mass that makes it difficult to produce rain or snow. The second reason is that off to our west, we have upper level high pressure. That will more or less block storm systems from moving to the east. So you put these two together and you come up with a pretty dry forecast. Now, keep this in mind. Last month was the 15th month in a row. It was wetter than normal in the U.S. Corn Belt, and we've talked about this on previous shows. But that by far smashes all records going back 125 years, because prior to 2018 and 19, the record was only 8. The way it looks right now, if we don't see a real big rain or snow system over the last 10 days of November, that streak is finally going to end. So we'll see how this works out, but there is a risk that we're finally going to break out of the streak and have a drier than normal month in the Corn Belt.
Early on in South America, we were worried they were dry, too dry, in fact, to get a good start on the planting. Do we still have concerns at all?
Well, it's much drier than normal in both Argentina and Brazil, and in Paraguay for that matter. Pretty much all of their growing regions were drier than normal over the last 90 days. So we need a lot of rain in order to eliminate what we would call agricultural drought. There is a lot of rain on the way for Brazil, but the thing you have to keep in mind is that a lot of rain is pretty normal for this time of the year. So it's not going to eliminate those deficits, and we're not totally sure that this is part of a pattern change toward a wet regime. We just know it's going to rain a little bit over the next 1 to 2 weeks. So we do have this drought in place down there, so it's difficult to determine why these things happen. Pretty much weather is random within the climate system, and sometimes you just end up drier than normal for a while. So we still need to watch that in Brazil and Paraguay, and we need to watch it even more carefully in Argentina. In Argentina, there will also be some rainfall going forward, but the big difference between what's happening there and onto the north is that high pressure will be centered pretty close to their growing region over the next couple of weeks. We'll see some storms here and there, so it won't be 100% dry, but we need about 1.5 to 2.5 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks just to keep up with normal rainfall for this time of the year. That looks pretty unlikely, and that tells us that agricultural drought is going to remain a concern in at least Argentina going into the end of the month, and probably in parts of Brazil and Paraguay too.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds great. We'll chat next week.
That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net now joins us from his offices in Windsor, Illinois, to talk about the cash grain segment. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. How far along are you in the field now?
Well, all we've got left is a few river bottom beans, just literally 5 or 10 acres. So, I don't know if we're going to have to wait on a freeze or not, but we about buried the combine last night trying to get them cut. So I don't know. Hopefully we can maybe knock them out before the weekend.
Yeah, a freeze might sound pretty good at that point rather than burying the combine. Hey, what's your experience or what are others' experience with soybeans and the kind of cold temperatures we're going to have next week? Will they shatter very much once we get that cold?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance that you'll see them shatter. One thing about it, a lot of it just depends on how cold it gets. I mean, because if it, let's just say it's a little bit like a frost or a heavy dew type situation, then they're going to be tough enough that maybe you won't have to see that. But bottom line for me is it's going to be hard just to find a good bean cutting day. You know, today the sun's out, but it's cold. And so a lot of guys that are trying to cut beans today are looking at, 14-15% beans. That's not the end of the world by any means, but I know some guys cringe. I just trying to tell my guys that you may not get a whole lot better day than what you're seeing today.
Yeah, so what you're saying is go after the beans, the corn will stand.
Yeah, as long as the corn's standing, by all means. If it's not, obviously it makes the discussion just a little bit tougher, but I would probably go after the beans if it were me. Typically, you're going to see more field loss with the beans and, again, shattering than what you're going to see field loss with corn as you get into this time of the calendar year.
Tell me about basis. You've been tweeting about what ADM's up to.
Yeah, I mean, last week, of course, they narrowed basis 6 cents, which, to people that don't understand that, it basically means the price went up versus the Board of Trade price by 6 cents. So, that was a sign that they're, basically trying to buy some corn. This week they came out and said, hey, you know what, we'll even dry the corn for free. We're going to back our basis off to 10 cents over the board for the rest of the week. And then next week it goes back to 16 cents normal drying. So that was up to 19%, and then 19 to 22% was going to be a half a point or half a penny per half a point. And so, a penny a point drying is significantly cheaper. Most elevators out in our part of the world are 3.5 cents to 5 cents a point. So, and then today they came out and narrowed basis 3 cents again. And so obviously the market's had a rough go this week, but it looks like basis is trying to do the work. tells me that, you know, you just haven't originated enough corn compared to what people thought they were going to originate. And so basis continues to get better. I mean, I monitor basis throughout the Midwest, and it's basically been on fire in many places. And so the way I grew up is that you pay attention to what the cash market's doing, and that tells you a lot about what you need to know about what the market's going to end up doing. But right now, it sure doesn't seem that way.
Yeah, so is it because the combines haven't or cannot run or are not running, although it looks like that'll be this week, in corn, although they may be in the soybeans trying to get those out, or is it that the crops aren't as good as expected?
With as many elevator systems that are doing this as what we're seeing, you would think that maybe the crop isn't quite as good as what the USDA has suggested. Now, you know, I don't want to get all bowled up in that situation by any means, but it's definitely not normal to see so many different people basically across the board showing basis improvements consistently through harvest whenever it's a little bit bigger crop than what they originally indicated it was. And so, yeah, it's very interesting dynamic that we're seeing by all means, but we're going to know a little bit more after the report. Who knows if we're going to know enough, though. I mean, I've been of the camp all along that we may not even have the true numbers by the January report because of how late everything is. You know, I really pity the guys that can't get the propane to be able to get their corn dried, because that's a tough situation to be in whenever, if you can get out in the field and go, and you can't even go because you don't have anywhere to go with the corn because you can't get what corn you've got, you know, in your systems dried down.
I know that's been a problem. I've been watching. Iowa apparently has had some real difficulties because the pipelines just aren't big enough to haul that much, and propane for drying corn isn't the highest priority in those pipelines either, I suppose.
Right. You know, especially, I mean, it's kind of a bad situation for several different reasons, because there's no question. I mean, we're cold, really cold. And some of these temperatures we've got forecasted over the next week, you know, getting down to 10 degrees. Obviously, your real needs for propane has more to do with residential than what it's going to have to do with drying corn. But at the same time, I mean, I know a lot of people are sitting around saying, hey, they knew this was coming. I can't believe they weren't ready. And I think they were as ready as what they could be. It's just a matter of, this is a pretty serious need compared to what we've ever seen before. I mean, it reminds me quite a bit of 2009. But at the same time, I feel like these temperatures, you know, they're just awfully cold, and the needs are huge.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net from Windsor, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget that Commodity Week comes up tomorrow. We will not record this afternoon, so it won't be posted to the website at willag.org tonight. That's because of tomorrow's United States Department of Agriculture World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate Report and the Crop Production Report. Those are both due out at 11 a.m. Central Time. If you do visit willag.org at that time, in my Twitter account, which is posted there, or you can follow me at Commodity Week, you'll find those numbers as they are released, or as quickly as I can get them up, and it's usually within 1 to 3 minutes, so you'll see them fairly quickly after they're posted by the United States Department of Agriculture, and we'll record Commodity Week, and it'll air tomorrow afternoon on our home station and over the weekend on many of these radio stations. You can always then pick it up, of course, as a podcast as well. You'll find it in Google Play Store, the Apple Podcast, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and NPR One.